President Wilkinson and members of the BYU faculty and students, and also to my dear wife and to my cousin, Claire Middlemas, whom I'm happy to have with me this morning. I feel this morning to begin my remarks to bear my testimony to you as a servant of God that Joseph Smith is truly a prophet of God. And this pleasant and happy occasion calls to mind that if it were not for the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has been sent forth in the presence of God, that men might be made partakers of the glories to come, none of us would be here today. And this through the instrumentality of the prophet Joseph Smith. Apostle Widtsoe made this statement: Joseph Smith is the key figure in the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the latter days. The foundation of the church, which he was instrumental in restoring to earth with every doctrine, organization, and movement, must be attributed directly or indirectly to him. It is true, no doubt, that had he proven unfaithful to that which he was entrusted to him, another would have been chosen in his stead. But the fact is that he did prove faithful. And that is why we are here today, the day and time that we should honor him, because of that which is transpiring in the world and in the church, in the preparation for the second coming of the Son of God. It is fitting also that in connection with this, that we should recognize that he was the first witness of the new dispensation of the gospel for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The prophet himself bore record of the completion of his task here upon the earth. This happened upon an occasion not long before his martyrdom, prior to which he had hastened his preparations and had conferred upon the 12 all of the keys, covenants, endowments, and sealing ordinances of the priesthood that he had received from heavenly messengers. And having done this, he declared, "The Lord is about to lay the burden on your shoulders. And if they kill me, the kingdom of God will roll on, as I have now finished the work that was laid upon me." Each of the successors of the prophet Joseph Smith have upon many occasions borne witness to the faithful completion of his work. President Joseph F. Smith, who knew the prophet as a boy, gave this testimony of his work. Joseph Smith was true to the covenants that he made with the Lord, true to his mission, and the Lord enabled him to accomplish his work even to the sealing of his testimony with his shed blood. President David O. McKay has said, "Not only did he receive guidance and instruction from the divine head, but once received, he defended it with invincible resolution, and his reliance on truth, on virtue, and in God were most unfaltering." Joseph Smith, foreordained as a chosen spirit in the premortal realms to be the instrument of God in this last dispensation, without question has proved faithful and true to the great trust placed upon him. I say this with regard to the fact that the reorganized church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, in their hidden documents, proclaim Joseph Smith to have been a fallen prophet. And even to this day, there is written in the crevices of their philosophy and their teachings this concept, which nullifies the position that they attempt to hold in the world. This great prophet and seer who has done more, save Jesus only, for the salvation of men in this world than any other man that ever lived in it, stands as a martyred witness for Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of the world and of mankind. It is probably common knowledge now throughout the church, at least I hear the reverberations of it wherever I go. But not long ago, in fact, only 7 months ago, in June of 1966, with President David O. McKay, President Joseph Fielding Smith, and several others, I stood in the valley of Adirondack in Daviess County, Missouri. I have in my folder the journal record of our memorable visit. But in our thoughts that day, there loomed before us the importance of this hallowed place to the future of the church and the kingdom of God. Our automobile rested in the large valley of Adirondack at the base of Spring Hill. And we could clearly see Spring Hill, on the bluff of which a temple site has been dedicated, and where the altar of Adam once stood, which was used for sacrifice. The other altar on Tower Hill, which is also was nearby, was usually used for prayer. And according to the prophet Joseph Smith, this is the altar where Adam gathered together his children at eventide. But the altar of sacrifice, wherein the angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam and asked him why he offered sacrifice, and he said, I know not, save the Lord hath commanded me. And that altar is on the place we call Spring Hill, near the temple site. I stood on that bluff not many months ago, on the very place where the storehouse had been erected. And there is still discernible the broken red brick of the storehouse. And the storehouse was very close to the temple site. And the altar of sacrifice was not many yards from this sacred place, according to many accounts given to us in the various histories of the church and in the journal records of many of the brethren. There in this area where we stood that day, according to the revelations, is where Adam, or the Ancient of Days, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, will sit to receive from those who will stand before him the keys of all dispensations. Among these will be the prophet Joseph Smith, representing the dispensation of the fullness of times, as testified to by the Lord himself and as contained in section 27 of the Doctrine and Covenants. At this great council meeting of Adirondack, not many years hence, the Son of Man will appear and will receive from Adam the stewardship which will contain the keys of the universe. We're given to understand that many others by appointment will be present at this great priesthood meeting. But the world will not know of it, nor will many within the church. According to the prophet Joseph Smith, this will be a day of judgment, a day of preparation, for the Lord will receive of the dominion and the glory of the earth as plans will go forward for the culmination of God's work here upon the earth, and the millennial reign of the Son of God to be officially established by his glorious second coming. As we contemplate this great event of the future, our thought broadens to the prophecies of Joseph Smith of the gathering of the saints out of the world in response to the message of the restoration. For said he, of events preceding the final gathering of the saints to the center place of Zion, and we are acquainted with the initial preparations which God made in the first settling of the consecrated and dedicated land of Zion in Jackson County, Missouri, wherein God knew the beginning and the end, and he knew that the saints would not redeem Zion at that time, and they were subsequently expelled. And in light of that expulsion, there came to the prophet Joseph Smith the manner in which the children of God would be gathered from throughout the world in preparation for the day when the revelation would come that would begin the final gathering of the children of God from throughout the world. And this is to be accomplished in the manner that the prophet has explained here and which you and I are a part of this very day. For said he, there will be here and there a stake for the gathering of the saints. Some may have cried peace, but the saints and the world will have little peace henceforth. But let this not hinder us from going to the stakes, for God has told us to flee, not dallying, or we shall be scattered, one here and another there, for there your children shall be blessed, that is, in the stakes of Zion, wherever they are established throughout the world. And you shall be in the midst with your friends, where you may be blessed. For the gospel net gathers of every kind. End of quotation. But of the final gathering of the saints in the due time of the Lord, not many years hence, the prophet makes this further declaration, and I quote, "You know there has been a great discussion in relation to Zion, where it is and where the gathering of this dispensation is, and which I am now going to tell you. The prophets have spoken and written about it, but I will make a proclamation that will cover a broader ground. The whole of America is Zion itself, from north to south, and is described by the prophets who declare that it is Zion where the mountain of the Lord shall be, and that it should be in the center of the land. When the elders shall take up and examine the old prophecies in the Bible, they will see it." End of quotation. In the prophecies of Micah, Isaiah, and Nephi, and later in the revelations from God contained in section 133 of the Doctrine and Covenants, we learn that the term mountain of the Lord's house means the place where the authority and where the power of God resides, and that the mountains referred to are not specifically geographical eruptions, but pertain to the house of God. The psalmist once said that he prayed that his mountain would be faithful unto the commandments of God. And this mountain to be above all other mountains means that it shall rise above all other houses and all other kingdoms of the earth. Concerning the gathering of the saints, first to the stakes, wherever they may be throughout the earth, for the purposes intended of teaching those who come into the church the principles and the ordinances of heaven, that they may be blessed by the commandments of God, and then to the center of the land in America, Joseph Smith uttered this prophecy, "I prophesy that that man who tarries after he has an opportunity of going will be afflicted by the devil. Wars are at hand. We must not delay. We ought to have the building up of Zion as our greatest object. When wars come, we shall flee to Zion. The cry is to make haste. But the last revelation says, ye shall not have time to have gone over the earth until these things shall come. End of quotation. The Zion of God, or the place where the city of the New Jerusalem shall be built, which shall be the first of the cities of Zion, shall therefore be established in Jackson County, Missouri. For following the expulsion of the saints from Jackson County, Missouri, the consecrated center place of Zion in November of 1833, and the failure because of the rebelliousness of its volunteers of Zion's camp to redeem Zion in the months that followed, the Lord gave a revelation to the prophet Joseph at Fishing River, Missouri, in June of 1834, at the very scene of the Zion's camp encampment, where many died because of a deadly scourge from which the following is taken. Therefore, in consequence of the transgressions of my people, it is expedient in me that mine elders should wait for a little season for the redemption of Zion. Previously, but after the Jackson County expulsion, the Lord had assured the prophet that Zion shall not be moved out of her place, that no other place has been appointed. The key to the initial settlement in Jackson County, Missouri, the consecrated land of the center place, was declared by the Lord, who knows the beginning and the end, wherein he said, that you might be honored in laying the foundation and in bearing record of the land upon which the Zion of God shall stand. It is the responsibility and the obligation of every servant of God in this dispensation, according to this revelation, to bear record unto the children of men that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been restored, first for the redemption of the individual, and secondly for the gathering of the children of God from throughout the earth, that there may be ushered in the millennial reign. And this is stated in many of the revelations. The time has come, I believe, to reestablish the image of Christ's church more formidably in the consecrated and dedicated land of Missouri. I think that President McKay feels this, and only recently he has authorized that the things that transpired on the memorable visit we had 7 months ago to Adamondiomon in the cities of far west Missouri and Jackson County in general and Independence, that these things now can be written, that we may in some way bring back to the consciousness of the people of this church those who are faithful to their covenants, that God established his work in that place, and that to fulfill it, there must be built the city of the New Jerusalem as revealed by the Lord, by the Gentiles who shall come in and be numbered among the children of Israel, by the sons and daughters of Ephraim, and by the remnant of Jacob who are the Lamanites, and they shall build the city of the New Jerusalem. And there shall be erected in that city a temple complex such has never been known in the annals of earth life time, wherein there shall be as the center of that complex the temple of the New Jerusalem, where the Lord will make his appearance in the administrative responsibilities of the government of the earth, and it will be sustained and supported by 23 other temples, all named after various orders of the priesthood. And we know the exact location of these temples in the city of Zion. And it is of particular interest to note that when the temple land was purchased, by Bishop Partridge for and in behalf of the church. It constituted 63.27 acres, whereas according to the plat of the city of Zion, which is to be the city of New Jerusalem and the first of the cities of Zion, which will be constructed in multiple fashion, for when one city is filled, then the same measurement and dimension of another city will be erected, and so on until it fills the earth, or until it fills all of the land of Zion. But the temple complex will be so arranged that the government of the earth will be carried forward through the priesthood of God under the direct leadership and direction of the Son of God, who will live and reign upon the earth. Among these 23 other temples are three temples of communication, whereby the voice of God will go throughout all the earth to testify of the things that are to happen in the culmination of the Lord's work here upon the earth. And these things the Lord has made known to us. Well, now, my brothers and sisters, the church has gone through many vicissitudes. With its initial expulsion from the state of Missouri and its exile in the city of Nauvoo, and their eventual expulsion from there to the state of Utah, where many troubles developed, reaching the turn of the century, and then the more solidification of the programs of the church leading to its great position in the world today. The children of God have truly been occupied in these many years, but we need, I believe, to reflect upon the initial things which God has restored to us that pertain to the establishment of these great cities to culminate the work of the Lord. The student of the Revelations will find that the greater preponderance of the revelations given from God in this dispensation, as contained in the Doctrine and Covenants, refer directly or indirectly to the establishing of the cities of Zion and the founding of the law of consecration to be administered under the United Order. And these constitute the things which God chose to reveal mainly unto his servant, the prophet Joseph Smith. In concluding my remarks, I should like to quote a statement by Orson F. Whitney concerning the land of Missouri. For said he, "Here in the most ancient region, where parallel with the stream of time, the great river of mortal life arose, had pitched their tents the saints of the latter day. Here dwelt Adam and Eve in the world's infancy. Here they tested of the fruit forbidden and were driven forth from Eden, their fall foreordained that mortal man might be. Here the great sire of mankind built altars unto God, offering sacrifice unto the Father in commemoration of the atonement of the Son. Here fell the first martyr." And it is of interest, and we contemplated this fact as we stood on the ground at Far West, a most holy and consecrated place, and when the prophet of our own dispensation, President McKay, said, "I feel a great spiritual influence in this place." And we have reason to believe, by the testimony of the brethren, that it was at Far West that Abel was martyred by his brother Cain. That was their dwelling place in the early day in that area, and it was in that vicinity that the first martyr of this dispensation took place. And so here fell the first martyr, here righteous Abel's blood was spilled. Here burst the awful thunders of heaven's awakened wrath upon the guilty head of earth's first murderer. Here Adam, bowed with age, blessed the righteous residue of his seed and predicted whatsoever should befall his posterity to the latest generation. All this ere the days of Peleg, in whose days was the earth divided, ere Enoch's city rose to heaven, or the ark of Noah floated over a wave-buried world, ere Babel's towering folly mocked the skies, ere wrecked was language on confusion strand, ere the great river of humanity, dividing into rills, went forth to water with the streams of life the soil of every land. Here in the time of restitution, when all things in Christ are gathered in one, Adam, Michael, the great prince, the Ancient of Days, is to come in power and glory, revisiting the scenes of his earthly pilgrimage. America, the old world, not the new, cradle of man, mother of nations, grave of empires. Unto Missouri, the land of promise, the ancient, the chosen, the favored above all other lands, had the Lord's prophet Joseph led his covenant people. And of these things I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.